That I understand. A crypto, sure. So why does he come to that second bit of that? Why does he come to the second conclusion that it is a non-dual?
Because here we are talking about the doership. The doership is very important. No? See, self being non-dual should become very clear. Okay, therefore ekameva.
So ekameva.
We don't say one, okay? Non-dual here.
Non-dual.
No, because of plurality, duality, established non-duality.
Yeah.
Then that self is actually not the doer. There's no doership on the part of the consciousness. There's no doership on the part of the self. When you...
How does that conclusion come? That's my question.
Yeah, once you know this, what the self is, that's what it's afterwards. Only know what the self is. Actionlessness, being the surupma of the Atma, is understood. Like how happiness is understood as the surupma of the Atma, actionlessness is also understood. Because you're asking, I'm telling you, I shouldn't tell this meaning. I have to reserve it for next class. And I can tell you, no problem. See, PTG, we're going to see later on Naishkarmyam. Okay?
Yes.
See, we are not going to understand only action, the limitlessness as the nature of the Atma. Because we always talk about happiness, this word. Ananda has a beautiful word.
Mm.
There's no hidden tale of why or happiness, okay? Because it happens to be, it means sorrowlessness, therefore we have to use the word happiness. Really speaking, what is happiness? Just the word. Which implies limitlessness. So being being happy is possible only if you are limitless.
And if you're limitless, you're actionless.
Okay, understand? If a limitlessness has to be understood as the nature of the Atma,
yeah.
Then like that, actionlessness, silence also has to be understood as the nature of the Self. Understand? Suppose we say, if you know the sun is of the nature of light, prakashaha, then heat also becomes understood. Heat being the surupma of sun also becomes understood. Brilliance. Along with brilliance, heat also is the nature of surupma of the Atma, the sun. Similarly, actionlessness being surupma of Atma becomes understood. Once you understand, once you resolve I in consciousness, okay, as not a consciousness, I in the Bhagavan, then I am the doer. When you understand Bhagavan as the order, and within the realm of the order, everything is happening. Bhagavan is not the doer, but there's no doer other than Bhagavan. Therefore, the doer is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not the creator, Bhagavan is the sustainer. But who is sustainer here then? The creator, the sustainer, the one in whom everything is, everything is Bhagavan. The order, Bhagavan is the universe. That's what Ramaha Vigrihavan Dharmaha. All the time you are talking about Rama, 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 Rama. But understanding Rama means understanding Bhagavan. Rama is Dharma, Vigrihavan Dharmaha. Is the embodiment, the personification of the universal order is Rama. That is Rama.
Is that?
Therefore, then wherever, how can you say, I am the doer? Once you restore identity in Bhagavan, and Bhagavan is the order, and you just refuse from doership, that's all. Akrutaha. Pardon?
Does that include everything, including
disorder?
Well, yeah, I mean sometimes it seems like...
I tell you, when I say order, I mean the universal, natural law and order, when I say it includes everything.
So this is where the difficulty comes often. One makes judgments about this can't be, this is stupid, this is unjust.
That is their view. That view also not outside of order. They think that way. That is also not outside of order. We can accept it, no problem.
It's what, sir?
Such thinking, such doubts. I tell you, everything is within the realm of the order. That is why we can accommodate any nonsense. anybody talking about us as the non-philosophy, we can accommodate, no problem. Because that's how the thinking. Why we are so kind and compassionate? Because accommodation is possible when you look at everything as within the realm of the order. Okay. Because this is not the pop. That's why we can't find anybody. That thinking, there's a reason behind such thinking. Yeah. Or that such thoughts to arise. Okay? And then we have, because we still, a wrong thinking can be corrected.
Yeah.
Wrong thinking can be corrected. Nothing wrong thinking is not outside of the order. If anything wrong, the correction also is available within the realm of order. Any problem within the realm of the order, solution also is available within the realm of the order. That is the beauty of the totality of the order.
It's a very good sort of tool, this actually. Yeah, it's a very common idea to think that.
People need not accept anything we say. Why should they accept?
No,
if they think and see, they can accept. If they can't see, it doesn't sound reasonable for them, then they don't accept. But there's something which prohibits, okay, which stops.
Yeah.
Something which obstructs their understanding. Then we'll see what it is. Take a small thing and then knock it off. It's light knocking off is needed. That pinch is needed sometimes.
Yeah, that's me.
I think it has a make.
No.
Yes. I know.
Well, either way, you don't have a hand.
You don't have to.
No.
Is it have a hand?
Hand?
Do you like something? I don't know. Hot water.
That is nothing.
This one has no egg. This is for certain.
Anna says it's correct. This
no, I'm not sure about this one, but I'm
no,
sure
this
about
I've been
this
eating
one.
This for quite some time, I know. This I
oh, wow.
No,
one.
This
that's
I'm
the one with egg
in
it. That's what's so nice.
No.
And she can smell.
Thank you.
I can smell egg, really. I can find
away.
Egg.
I still have
no, this
and
has
you,
no
egg.
No,
it's
not
biscuit.
This one has no
egg.
They don't have an egg.
No.
Oh, interesting.
Even karma yoga.
We all have
something.
So much so you move this
naturally occurs as the knowledge.
Yeah.
Or is that something that you
go out
and
do?
It just happens naturally.
Which
as you become more and more understanding.
That's when Purushartha Nischaya. Purushartha Nischaya is there.
Is the key.
Then you know the value of knowledge, which is understood as the means first, then the means itself becomes the end. You asked me. Okay?
I hear the words, but I'm not sure I understand exactly what it means.
Come on. Make them first. Make
the
map.
Shit.
What do you mean? I told in the very beginning. See, first, because why we say because it is what is known, because they're two different things. You can say one becomes the mean, one becomes your end. They happen to be one and the same. Without Purushartha Nischaya, there's only karma, there's no karma yoga. That is why, because I didn't do many introduction classes here, now I'm doing it for the other people, I'm repeating and repeating and repeating, and I feel bored with my own. And then I'm repeat, because I don't want later on struggle. Okay, I want them to get used to my way of teaching. Okay, it's very important because to do in-depth classes later on, it's very important for them to know certain things correctly in the beginning itself. So I start from the beginning. I repeat sometimes. I don't know how, forget also what I repeat what I said.
Actually, but, I mean, that's right. It's all there, already recorded in the beckoning process. If you want to hear it, it's absolutely fundamental, step by step.
I really develop it so that they won't have any such things. It may be boring for you, but...
No, it's not.
No, not at all. Basic.
Is it tea or coffee?
Tea. Dosham dveshase?
No.
Raga dosha.
No, no, no. Here, raga adi, he says. Ragaha, dveshaha. Raga is a dosha, dveshaha also is a dosha.
Okay, raga.
Raga adi means raga, etc. Beginning from raga, when you say many doshas, which begin with raga. Raga means attachment. Attachment implies desire. Desire means both likes and dislikes.
So, it's, can I just get one thing? the idea, if you see later in, I forget where, Krishna talks about raga dvesha, to be with, I forget the words now.
Raga dvesha,
what does that mean? It's to be devoid of, isn't it?
Yeah. See, I tell you one very simple. No, I want to ask the word yukta. You won't ask the question still there? Finish the question.
So,
because you want the word yukta, I want it to come. Jumping.
Please,
okay. Please. Finish this? Then you can ask the question again. See, the word yuktaha is a participle. Is it okay if I tell you this? But I think I'm not boring you with the Sanskrit scholar in your school.
No, this is grammar.
Okay, yuj is the dhatu. Okay? And yunjate is the verb. Yogaha is the noun. Yukta is the participle. Tapratyanta shaddaha. Yuktaha with, united, joined, connected. Okay? That is yukta. Ayukta without, viyukta separated. Yukta, ayukta, viyukta. Yukta endowed with, ayukta without, viyukta separated, taken away. So, divide off.
Divide is rather
quick. Raga dvesha.
Okay. So, the question. The question. Is there supposed to be any direct effort in losing raga and dvesha, or is this I've got somebody in my ear, a little birdie. Is this an inevitable consequence of karma yoga?
Actually, there's no way of getting rid of raga dveshas. Raga dveshas can be neutralized by karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga. Understand? They can be got rid of totally. But raga dveshas will resolve in jnanam. Raga dvesha, attachment, any desire, likes and dislikes, all of them will be resolved in jnanam for good. They can be neutralized by living a life of karma yoga. They can be managed. Raga dveshas can be managed. In fact, they have to be managed. A karma yogi can make a deliberate effort to manage the raga dveshas, because he knows the importance of managing the raga dveshas. And to be able to manage, you also need Bhagavan's grace. You become prayerful. You seek strength to be able to manage. And the prayer comes. You look like Shiva.
No.
Okay, tell me.
That's Chinmudra.
Okay.
Krishna.
No, it looks like now that petroleum that...
Four questions.
Pure for sure.
This is high fives.
Okay.
My understanding is that, and perhaps this would Well, let me see. My understanding is that in any action,
yeah,
which originates from likes and dislikes,
yeah,
yes, any action, if it is not viewed as a success or a failure, dissolves that desire. Is this what you mean by knowledge? Knowing that is the application of knowledge toward Raga Dvesha. Do you understand what I mean or not?
Can you please repeat it?
Okay. Actions come about through likes and dislikes from the vasanas, yes? In performing an action, if it is viewed with neither success, as neither being successful, or as a failure, in other words, with samatvam or...
Yeah, what was the result?
Without any desire or aversion to that result, it dissolves that particular desire.
No.
Okay. But anyway, if you do approach things with correct knowledge, is that what's meant by
knowledge?
Is that what's meant by
the word order?
Using knowledge to it's no. He says no. Right. I'm confused then.
You're in good company, Arjuna.
Okay, water is a confusion. Let me tell you this much. Okay? See, raga dveshas are the desires, you say, cannot be resolved. You said, if the action is performed without, or with samatvam, I mean, pamatta buddhi, I mean, with the readiness to accept any result
as being the grace of Lord.
Okay, grace of the Lord, then that will help you to resolve the action, desire. That will not resolve the desire. The very performance is because of the desire.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you perform the karma, but with such attitude towards results of actions will help you accept the desire, accept the result. That way you won't be affected by the result. You won't be, the steadiness of the mind won't be disturbed. The easiness of the mind won't be disturbed. It will keep you free from anxiety. Okay, the mind is free from anxiety because this, when you talk about the steadiness of the mind, for the mind to be steady means, if the mind has to be steady means what? What is the steadiness of the mind? The mind being free from anxiety, free from disturbance. So once you can accept the result with the sameness of mind, your easiness is maintained there. The anxiety-free mind, no, the mind is not anxious. In fact, it's steady mind. Therefore, it helps you to only, it prepares your mind for jnanam. It doesn't help you resolve the desire.
But it doesn't
by making the mind conducive for jnana, indirectly it helps to resolve the disease.
But also it does not create further desires from that particular action, correct? It would not create.
No, they say no. One desire does not really create other desire. The desires will be there.
Yes, there will be a result.
See, karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga will not stop arising of new desires. I tell you one thing, nothing will stop the rising of desires.
No, I accept that.
Yeah.
But it will not create new ones.
Agami.
You mean the desires or you mean the karma phalam?
Yes.
Not agami. He means agami, only desires.
No, no. There is a desire.
Yeah.
There is an activity.
Yeah.
Because you like or dislike. So yeah. And you want to... Desires
cannot be stopped from rising by any karma yoga directly. Only in jnanam, desires will not rise at all. The non-rising of desires is to be understood as the resolving of the resolution of the desires. That for the desire will not rise at all, when only in jnanam. Until and unless the jnanam takes place, nothing can stop the desires from rising. Even the karma yoga lifestyle will help you manage your desires. In living a life of karma yoga, you are only managing your desires. Because of your discretion in action, because of commitment to values, because of your the value of values, because you are doing everything with an act of offering to Ishvara, because you are interested in Antakarana Shuddhi and Naistalyam, you are very conscious. Because you know the value of knowledge, because you are conscious of what you are committed to ultimately, therefore you are very and then you also seek Bhagavan's grace, you are prayerful and worshipful, therefore you have such an attitude with which you are able to refrain from wrong, you are able to do the right, you are able to manage your desires, but you cannot control, you cannot undo, you cannot destroy, you cannot stop desires from rising.
No. Right. But once they have arisen and an activity follows from that desire, you can or can you not stop further the creation of further seeds of future desires by acting in a way where the mind is even without any preference for a success or failure from it? No?
I told you already, desires will be, the seeds of disease are already there.
Yes, yes, but you can, it's creating the new ones that
new ones.
Or continuing the existing ones.
Until launch takes place, disease will be rising and rising and rising and rising and rising.
Okay. Is knowledge knowing that if you treat the fruits of action evenly,
you're asking for knowledge
of mind, I think is that acting with knowledge?
Talking about the knowledge of the self. You can ask me this question.
Right,
how does knowledge of the self help one resolve one's desires? That is your question, I think.
That should be a bit. All right. So I'm the fall guy, you know. Come on.
It is an argument
from the north.
Do you create desires by acting in an interested manner? You put the seed.
That's what I'm saying. See, whether I tell you one thing. The desires which are now, which are going to be in future, we are going to be in next Janma, I tell you, wherever it is, any desires will be there. This will always be there. Whether it is going to be Agami or present karma, okay, this is always there. What we say here, there is no way of undoing your desires. There is no way of resolving your desires. Understand? The disease only can be managed. When in living life of karma yoga, diseases are managed, not stopped completely. Even if you live a life of karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, accepting the results with the sameness of mind, or doing the karma without any anxiety about the results of the karma also, will not stop, undo the seeds of the desires which are going to rise in future. When I say knowledge will free you from this disease means, what I mean is, knowledge of this, knowing the self, you understand the limitlessness as the nature of the self. In knowing the limitlessness, you understand what happiness is. Understanding what happiness is, understanding what limitlessness is, being limitless. You understand, these are your identity with Bhagavan, the totality. Thereby you understand yourself being limitless. In being limitless, in being happy, you are free from limitations, you are free from inadequacy, therefore the needs won't be there naturally, therefore the desires will not rise at all. That is how you can resolve your desires. Other than that, therefore we say, in knowledge of, therefore he says, avidya kamavataha, explain, I was supposed to explain too much because of short of time, I just didn't do it. I tell you one thing, avidya kamavataha, he says, avidya kamavataha eva shodasmattadini karmani darshitani, when it is said in Bhashyam, avidyavan eva kamavan. The one who is ignorant of the self, okay, is the one who has desires. Vidyavan becomes the akamavan. See, Shastra says, Vidyavan, Vijnanavan, Vijnani, akamaha. He is free from disease. He has no disease at all. Why has no disease at all? He doesn't have any needs. He is free from needs. Why there is no need? Because he is free from inadequacy. Because he is limitless. He doesn't consider himself anymore as a limited being. Why? Because there is no identity with the, okay, the identity is with the bigger thing, picture.
I mean, I can see why, you know, where the question can arise, right? Maybe. Because
you were talking about the future karma all the time.
But basically, the difference between punya papa, punya papa is what is sown. That is what agami is about, isn't it? Punya papa and desire is not the same thing, is it?
No.
The confusion between prarabdha and desire. Punya papa, prarabdha, desire, all that is an area which is the area which I think for us is the biggest area of confusion.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing. First of all, what is agami? Tell me. Let me make it very clear. What is agami? Agami means agamishyanti iti agami, which are going to come in later. Later on, going to come in future. Future means when? Which future? Tomorrow, next year, next janma? Next janma. Okay? Which are going to come later on. So the results of the actions which remain without being exhausted, okay, are results of the actions which are not exhausted in this janma. The results of actions which are performed in this janma, which are not exhausted in this life itself, they get accumulated. They form the agami karma. Always I tell you, while exhausting, what is part of the karma? Okay, the portion of sanchitam, what is come from sanchitam now? What is sanchitam karma? Chayaha means accumulation. Chinoti is the verb. Chinoti collects. Chinoti plucks. Plucks and okay? And sanchinoti collects. Sanchinoti. So sanchayaha collection. Accumulation. Sanchita accumulated. Collected. Sanchitam karma means sanchitam karma phalam, not action actually. Sanchitam karma means sanchitam karma phalam. Sanchitam karma phalam means sanchitani karma phalani. And one particular karma, though we use the word singular. So accumulated, okay, huge accumulation of results of actions which remain without getting exhausted in many janmas which we cannot even think when, where, we, how. They form the Sanchitam Karma. And one portion of Sanchitam, which is begun exhausting, okay, which is started, which is getting exhausted, Arabdha, Arambha, Rabdhatu, Arabhate means begins. Arabhate begins. Arabdha begun. Pra-arabdha, properly, accurately, perfectly started, fructify, okay? Is what? No, prarabdha. Prakrishena-arabdham. No, one day, 1 minute, you are supposed to born at the time of 3, 2 a.m. Even the people fix up nowadays delivery time, okay? Even the post, because of cesarean and all that, something happens, that the baby is born exactly time it is to be born. So, prarabdha, okay? You can plan, things happen as they ordained to happen. There you cannot use the will. The will is given only later on. See, prakrishena aradham karma phalam, which, that's prarabdha, one portion of sanchitam, one smallest portion of sanchitam, which is started, which has begun to be exhausted, is what now? Prarabdha karma phala. That which begins with your very birth is prarabdha karma phalam, with the parentage, chosen society, among chosen culture, okay, water, food, my God, friends, no, everything, because we have to enjoy all pains and pleasures. Only when you come in contact with people, your punya, your papa, both can be exhausted. That is why failures, sufferings, no, you can't get hurt by a person who's known or unknown to you. All this is planned well. Exactly, you come in contact with only the 10 significant people in your life. And then life begins, prarabdha begins. Birth, relatives, prarabdha. And you exhaust, then one portion of the prarabdha karma phalam, what you exhaust the karma phalas of the past. Prarabdha karma phalam means you exhaust your punya and papa, translate in the form of pain and pleasure, which you exhaust, for which the present karma you do becomes nimittam, instrumental. The present life which you live, the present will, using your willpower, the present karma, whatever you do, becomes only the nimittam, instrumental, for which, okay, whatever the result comes, if that result causes pain or pleasure, that pain and pleasure which you experience, thinking as a result of the present karma is in fact the karma, prarabdha karma phala. That is what the result of the past karma.
Sorry, rewind that last sentence.
Yeah. See, the pain or pleasure,
yes.
The pain or pleasure,
yes,
which you go through as a thinking, as a result of, okay, as a result of, caused by the result of the present karma, okay, is in fact the pain and pleasure is the result of the past karma. For which, for that pain or pleasure is already there. Okay? There is surfaces. For which the present karma becomes the nimittam. The present situation, let me tell you, the present situation becomes nimittam. What situation? The result is here. You do certain karma, the result comes. The result is failure or success. That failure does not cause sorrow. That pain, that success does not cause pleasure. In fact, the pain or pleasure which is already there, that surfaces, for which the present failure, the present success becomes instrumental, nimittam. Understand?
Oh,
is it clear now?
So really you're saying then that when the event happens, your response to it,
yeah,
is entirely a result of sanchitta. It's a response which arises out of sanchit in response to the present prarabdha, and that response is
no, actually that pain and pleasure is the prarabdha. Prarabdha karma phalam.
Yeah.
Okay. The pain and pleasure is don't talk about sanchitam always unexhausted, okay? Sanchitam remains with there. Prarabdha is the karma phalas of the sanchitam which started, which are getting exhausted in the present. Yeah.
So the pain and pleasure is of the prarabdha. It's the fruit. The prarabdha is only fruits.
Yeah, fruits. Pain so and what? Pleasure are the result, translated punya papa.
Okay, punya papa. Okay.
Pain and pleasure are the translations of punya and papa which you have accumulated in the past. Okay? Now that punya papa surface as what? Pain or okay. pleasure. Okay. For which nimittam is what? The present situation. What situation? The success or failure. Which is the result of the present action. Which you have used the will, you were righteous, you were ethical, or you were bad, whatever it is. Whatever you are now, even if you are a righteous person or the wrong person, non-righteous, ethical or unethical, use your will or abuse your will, you do some karma, the phalam comes. That phalam may be success or failure. Okay? That triggers the your particular thought, state of mind. There can be pleasure or pain. That is the prarabdha karma phalam.
So if prarabdha is only fruits, if it is just an experience, if prarabdha really is just an experience of pleasure or pain in relation to an action, whatever the action, what is it that brings about the action? I thought it was prarabdha that brought about the action. Where does the action itself come from? I can see how it's either the response or the attitude towards it, or the response towards it can be positive or negative, depending upon one's attitude and so on. I can see that attitude being inborn, being the result of a stored attitude which manifests as prarabdha. Where does the event itself come from?
See, let me finish this now. If we finish this, then all your answers will be resolved, because half the way we stop and this question comes. Always. That's why Vedanta Shastra class, no discussion. Sorry, Dad, okay? You're
okay,
fine.
Fine.
Now, why I'm saying this, everywhere, here people always talk, let us all participate, let us all discuss and come to the conclusion. No, it is not possible. What do you know to discuss? First of all, learn and everything. Then you see any doubt is there, then you can come out with the question. Always the students should ask questions, the teacher should answer. But until the teaching gets over, you have to wait. Okay, this I said, the parabdha, but while exhausting the parabdha karma phalam in the form of going suffering, going through pain and pleasure, which gets fructified as a result of the present karma, which gets triggered as a result of the present karma. Okay, triggered by the present situation, while exhausting this, because you are doing present karma now, for the past to surface, it needs a nimittam. Yes. Without the nimittam, it cannot surface. That's why you are a parabdha. Okay, this life is there. Mm-hmm. For it has to fructify. It has to come. Yeah. How can you exhaust if there is no nimittam for that? It has to surface. So you have to do again your bond. While not exhaust the karma phalam, only you are born here. While exhausting the karma phalam, You have to live your life for which you have to do again karma. This present karma which you are doing now, okay, the results of the actions which you perform in this janma, exhausting the part of the karma, karma phalam, you accumulate the karma phalas, which mean unexhausted, okay, they in fact accumulate, come as agami. Yeah. Agami karma phalam. So, okay, so now we have agami. And once the parabdha gets over, when it is over, the parabdha, within the realm of parabdha, the death also is ordained. Okay? Then birth and death, in between birth and death, okay, all that you go through, everything is well, okay, ordained. And then, that's all, the day comes, say goodbye. Then this all departs. Okay, then we say, then the agami, what happened to the agami? It joins the sanchitam. That is why sanchitam always remains big, big, big deposit. Okay. How much you draw and spend, still it remains big deposit. Okay, huge amount. Therefore, the agami becomes sanchitam. Again, one small portion of sanchitam is exhausted. Again, accumulate agami. Again, agami is there. Again, agami joins sanchitam. This is why beginningless, endless, sanchita, prarabdha, agami, sanchita, prarabdha, agami. Where is the end? That is why it's called a cycle of births and deaths. Straight line of births and deaths, we don't say. Why? Because of no beginning, it has no end. Understand? That is why it's called karma bandha. My God, why is it called bondage? Why it is bandha? Because there's no way of escaping from punya and papa. No way of becoming free from the enjoyment of sukham and dukkham, pleasure and pain. There's no way. You have to, if you have punyam, you have to enjoy the pleasure. You have papam, you have to enjoy the pain. No, it's not enjoy, I say pain also enjoyment, okay. Swamiji always says, be happy when you go through sukham, dukkham also, you know why? But at least now if you don't go through dukkham, what you have in you, at least it doesn't get reduced, you see.
Yeah.
Then it surfaces. Surfacing. So, there's no way. And can you remain with the doing karma? That's also not possible. Why it is not possible? Because there are natural urges. You have to do karma, hunger, thirst, sex, a lot of other things. All these problems are there. And I want to live long, happily, emotional urge. That natural biological urges, physiological, okay, physical urges, there's a natural emotional urge. Ultimately, all these physical urges also can be reduced to one urge. It is emotional urge. I want to live long happily. I want to be happy. It's a natural urge. That is why you cannot just give it up. You have to, natural urge means, like hunger you cannot ignore. You have to eat. You have to drink water to quench your thirst. So you have to take care of that your desire to be happy. It's a natural emotional urge. There's no way. And this is there. So you have to do karma. Do karma. No go, no other way. Therefore, the desires are all born of this urge. Natural urge, all the urge desires are basically impelled by these natural urges. Therefore, what to do? You have to do karma. So the karma, performance of karma is inevitable. Unavoidable. You have to do karma. You have choice over action, no choice about doing an action. You have to do this or that. But you can't say, I don't want to do anything at all. There's no way. You have to do karma. Because that is the nature of the very prakriti, the matter itself. Therefore, you can't do anything about it. Understand? And then, so understanding helplessness again. You have to do the karma, no way of remaining without doing any karma. Once you do the karma, the result is definite. Once the results are there, you have to exhaust your karma phalam. Once the results are there and you have to exhaust, though not today, tomorrow, otherwise next janma or some other janma, in future, one fine day, okay, you have to exhaust someday or the other. And to exhaust, you'll be born again and again. Understand? Therefore, this is called bandha, not being able to escape this. Understand? I will do right a wrong action, I will do whatever I want to do, but I can't enjoy only pain, I want only pleasure. Let me decide for myself. Nobody can decide for myself. No. Okay? This is helpless situation. This is what is bandha. But Shastram says, one can become free from this karma bandha, bondage of karma. Okay? In order to become free from bondage of karma, because otherwise, okay, dukkha nivrittihi, is what we say, in fact, punya mosas dukkha makanti shastram. Okay, therefore, we say, for freedom from this bondage of karma, karma bandhat nivrittirtam jnanam eva sadhanam. Jnanam is the only means. What's jnanam? How long you can never undo totally all your sanchita karmas, one fine day I'll finish. So one fine day I'll finish all of Paradha and I won't accumulate any more agami. One day I'll become nil account person. Okay? Then I'll be free. Don't ever think. It is impossible. It's assuming a body, living a life, performance of karma is inevitable. Therefore, accumulation of punya papas, even if you do only right actions also, punya accumulation of karma phalam is inevitable. Therefore, exhaustion of phalam also will be inevitable. Therefore, okay, it is not possible. By undoing all the karmas one fine day, I'll be free if you think it is a daydream. Oh, other that's possible. Daydream is possible, okay? Okay, actually something which is...
But this is not.
Okay. I tell you one thing. But what Shastram says is, oh, this is possible, no? If these karma phalas, punya and papa, are there, no pain and pleasure, for whom? Okay? The punya papa will be there only if you are a bhokta, if you are an enjoyer. Resolve your enjoyership. Then you are free from punya papa. How can you have enjoyership? You resolve your doership. How can you resolve your doership? Understand you are not the doer. You think you are the doer, therefore you think you are the enjoyer. It is your the notion that you are the doer and enjoyer, in fact, makes you suffer pain and pleasure. Once you are free from the notion that you are the doer and enjoyer, you are free from doership and enjoyership. You are free from punya papa. Instead of saying, I have punyam, I have papam, I have pain, I have pleasure, you can say, pain is me, pleasure is me, everything is me. Everything is Brahman, aham brahmasmi, everything is Brahman, therefore aham idam sarvam. Okay, then you are free from bondage. There is no way of freeing oneself from bondage of karma, this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths, compressing of Sanchita Paradha Agami is not at all possible with unless until you become free from doership and enjoyership. That freedom from doership and enjoyership is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of the self being free from doership. Is it okay? No.
There is still, I don't think you've explained where the actions come from. I see you've explained very beautifully how the fruits of action are experienced in the present as pain or pleasure.
You mean the action or the karma, phalam or the karma?
I mean the karma. Where does, for instance, when I stub my toe, I experience pain, and when I see a nice film, I experience pleasure, whatever. Where does the action? Why is it that I happen to get a parking ticket that night and experience the dissatisfaction of that? Why? I can understand I experience the dissatisfaction because I think I'm a doer, I think I'm an enjoyer, and the pain of the dissatisfaction.
Very action, why does it come
from? Where does the action itself come from?
Is that parapta?
Is that parapta? Where does the action, for instance, today I went down to the tube station, and the tube station was closed, I had to get a bus into town. Where does that action come from? My response, I can see where that comes from. It comes from Sanchit, manifesting in Paradha, but where does the event itself come from? And why is it that not everybody who...
I tell you one thing.
Peter gave me a by train, I gave me a by bus. The event is different. The response is individual. But where does the event come from?
Any action is an expression of the desire. If there is no desire at all, no action is possible. Any action, where does it come from? The desire, in fact the external physical activity is in fact is a manifestation or the expression of the force of the desire which rises in the form of a thought in your mind. That's what I said, the very first sentence. Raga adi doshatah karmani pravruttah bhavati. Karmani pravruttah yatkivapi karma bhavatu. Whatever is the karma, whatever karma you are involved in, that karma, karmani pravruttihi doshatah eva, ashatah eva, due to your dislikes, likes and dislikes alone, due to your desires alone, that it is the desire which causes actions.
So in this example, my having to get a bus rather than the tube because the tube station was closed, my choice of the decision to get the bus, or even for that matter, the decision to go for the tube, was entirely a result of my desire.
Yeah, of course. You could have gone back, you had a choice there.
Yeah.
You could have gone back,
see,
you could have gone back, you could have chosen to come by other tube, you could have chosen to even ring Richard to come and fetch you, you could have chosen to come by bus, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
You could have even sort of help of Alan G to bring you on his shoulders. Like, anyway, whatever choice, you want to come.
Yeah.
Desire.
So that gives...
Where are the circumstances?
But that's beautiful. That shows then that all my desires are related, will then find fulfillment in the present context, which happens to be...
But I tell you one thing. The desire for a given thing has something to do with your past connection, some inclination.
Okay.
The desire for what? Desire for attending the class... Does it to go to the pub? Does it to go and have some gala time? Or does it to attend some musical concert? Okay, but this year, for what? That shows some past inclinations.
Swami, Rodney's desire to come here triggered a prarabdha that would give him the experience of what? Frustration or choice or what? Rodney's desire to come here.
Now that desire, just to say, any desire, that desires differ from person to person.
Yes.
Those desires are based on the inclinations. Those inclinations have something to do with the past life, how you lived the past life.
Yes.
That shows. But still, desire is desire. Desire for going to the club, or desire for coming to the class, or desire for going to the countryside, desire for anything. Desires may be different from person to person. Desires are based on the inclinations. Those inclinations are kind of to the life you lived in your past. You cannot really have desire for something, inclined for something which you hadn't have any touch at all before.
So the fact is that
even the liking for Vedanta. Even though Alan G was born in Spain last Janma, okay, even though he's very inclined to go to Spain often, but still, the liking for school of philosophy and teaching and Shastra, he also must have visited Banaras and Ganga at least once or twice, okay? I'm just joking, okay, whatever it is. Somewhere you must have studied. You must have started, all of you, including me, all of us, somewhere must have started something. Otherwise, the inclination.
The
all our inclinations have something to do with the past. That I'm saying, but our question was, where does the desire, the action come from?
Yeah.
Desire doesn't come from anywhere. It is just impelled, okay? It's a forced, impelled expression of your desire, action.
And that's called vasanas. The inclinations.
Yeah.
But take his parking ticket. I mean, that's an event that happened to him. or the closure of the underground section happened to him. So the question is not where his response was, where his response was, but the actual event. That event itself, that's one of the questions I think Roger was asking.
Yeah.
Just the event. The fact that the station was closed, therefore causing possible frustration or whatever.
Yeah, that event became nimittam, instrumental, for the agitation he had. Agitation is prarabdha. The event became nimittam.
Yeah, but it's a wrong question, because the event is simply on a bigger scale. It has nothing to do with the individual, because of my desire.
It is samashti prarabdha, so I guess not only you people, whoever today had to feel agitated about this business of, you know, the tube stations being closed. Samashti prarabdha, many people.
Yeah, exactly.
I was standing there, I didn't have any suffering, I just came comfortably. But still I came to know about it, even that slightest papa get agitated, any agitation. See, the events become nimittam.
But he's asking, or can I ask for him? that event happened to a number of people, yes, it happened to him as well.
Yeah.
So the parking ticket was relatively individual, and happened to some people, but he got a parking ticket, which could cause agitation.
It did
cause agitation. But the question is, that parking ticket itself surprised
him.
It's part of the whole.
See, yeah.
But it happened.
See, the situations are, at least the personal situations, all the present events, which uncontrollably, which happen sometimes, are also within the realm of the order, which become the situation conducive for our part of that to surface.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That is why I say order is very subtle. The more you understand Shastram in depth, the more you understand Ishvara widely, the more you understand order. As I said, we are in the very still beginning of the second chapter. As we go, we see more and more and more and more. The Bhagavan's wish, concept of Bhagavan becomes wider and becomes understanding, becomes wider and wider. You see the order more widely.
So
have
ordered.
We answered?
It's ordered.
Have we not answered, Radniji? Mm-hmm. I can't go to another question if you haven't answered your question, Radniji.
No, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Tell me now, Alanji.
I think in respect to what Richard said about the event of the underground station being closed, it is true, is it not, that there must be a stage to play this out. So there has to be a scene.
Yeah.
Yes? Now, there are individual scenes, like for me, at home, etc. But there are shared experience scenes.
Yeah.
Like the underground station is a shared experience.
Yeah.
For many jivas.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's entirely reasonable, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. This is a samashti prarabdha. Vyashti prarabdha, samashti prarabdha. Sometimes I myself become a victim. Sometimes together, some people, all of us go through.
There are shared experiences.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called samashti parabdha.
Suppose
some tsunami happened,
yeah,
many villages together got, no? Samashti parabdha.
For example, we all live in London.
Yeah.
Not everybody lives in London.
Yeah.
Some people live in France even.
Some people living here go to Spain.
But they are all part of the shared
existence,
aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that's
important. I'll tell you one thing. Why do you want to go to the public? Take, for example, family members. See, these are the people who become the family members. Sometimes, individual parabdha, for the whole family, they become affected by certain things. Only one person. The vyaktigata, you know, kutumba jana sahita, samashti, it is. Okay? Not so society, community as a whole, society as a whole, big group as a whole. No? Sometimes we become victims of problems sometimes. So all prarabdha. All prarabdha.
So there's no such thing as accidents?
Anything.
Nothing at all.
Hmm?
Nothing said, there's such thing as accident.
Yeah, everything, anything, any happening. Situation, event becomes nimittam. That event is ordained in order for which the old punya papas to surface and get exhausted. Order. I don't say everything in the realm of the order. In court also we say this, order.
In the court. Remember
That is why Bhagavan is order. That's why Rama is always with the bow and arrow. He stands straight. Very strict. Order. Nothing can change. It's ordained. It has to happen because there's a cause behind it. Why this happens now, there's a cause behind it. Okay, for that to happen, that happening has to, that result has to go and, trigger some pain somewhere. That is the result of the past. This happening, any happening is because of the, some of the reactions of the some actions before. Therefore, the order, nobody can change it. Okay, that's the order.
Putting that in the context of this tube train, it only takes one individual to react to in a certain way to his present parapta, for him to behave in a certain way, which triggers, say, putting a shovel through a cable, and suddenly an entire range of the tube network is down, which affects thousands of people. In that way, one person can be a trigger to a much wider event. Is this fair or not? I mean, the fruit of that one action could be that a great deal of inconvenience is caused to a lot of people.
Yeah. You say, inconvenience is pain.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pain. Reduce the pain to prarabdha, that's all.
So, no such thing as miracles? Or, miracle is what? Miracle is still within the order.
Yeah. But anyway, time bound. Any miracle is time bound. Any miracle is mithya. Any miracle is mithya. It's not moksha. It is binding. So leave the miracle to be as a miracle. Okay. What's a miracle? If I can get up and walk now from here, it's a miracle. I came and sat comfortably. Okay. I could walk here very well. We see people suddenly not being able to get up. Sudden paralysis attack, So you get paralyzed immediately. If I'm able to walk back, get up and go, every fraction of a second there is a miracle within the realm of order. If I get your bread, I have a miracle for me. Richard, you made bread is a miracle for me. I look at everything as Bhagavan's tremendous grace. Oh my God.
So within this order, you say that you can express your will.
Grace is beautiful.
You can use your will. I've heard you say this before. Although everything is preordained, we have to experience certain things, other things become nimitta for experience prarabdha, but we do have a will. You say we have
will
a will.
Will is there. Will has to be used. Will is for using, in fact. Use it at the present karma which you do knowingly. Those karmas use your will to make the wrong actions. And to refrain from the wrong, to do the right, use your will. Mm-hmm. Understand? And this only helps you to neutralize little papam of the past, not all the past. And it helps you it frees you from accumulating the new papas. Okay? At the same time, it prevents you from doing the wrong things. Also from punyam.
There's in the background, there's still an idea that somehow if I keep on doing something, if I act in a certain way, I will somehow make it all better and then get out. And the Shastra is saying, even if you act brilliantly, you will never get out, and it's only jnana. Yeah?
Jnana, all that you need is jnana. See what it says, all that you need for freedom is jnanam, but in jnanam, in ajnanam, before jnanam, after jnanam, okay, you need to do karma. That's what he called Janakadeha,